Last year, we received a letter from a prisoner in the States. The letter was saying that he had read one of the articles I had written, and he wanted to have more information and some help, spiritual help. He then went on to explain, or at least to say, that he was condemned to die 3 times. And then he accepted the Lord. And just before that execution took place, he had to appear before a board. And his lawyer had said to him, tell them that this and that, and explain to them why you killed few people. And he said, now that I had received God, now that I had received Christ in my life, I could not lie anymore. So he went before the board and he said, I have done terrible things. I have killed people and I deserve to die. And yet if you let me live, I will help others find God and help them. Well, the board was convinced. And now he is reaching out to all the prisoners. But I'm sharing this to you because he said, God now had given me another chance. God gave me another chance. And I believe many of us who have gone through difficult periods of time have said, oh, I give up. I can't do this anymore. And we sort of give up in trying to reach God or ask God to help us. And yet, God is a God of second chances, if you wish. 3 years before his resurrection, Jesus had called Peter and his brother to come and follow him. And I would like to quote Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake. For they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. They stayed with him and followed him everywhere. But 3 years later, in a moment of weakness, Peter had denied Jesus, not once, but 3 times. How many times have you seen that happening to you? You have committed your life to God. You have made promises to your wife, to your husband, to your children. And then in a moment of weakness, you have broken those promises. And now you are desperate. You don't know what to do. She will not forgive. He will not forgive. They will not forgive, you think. And yet, looking at Peter, and then looking at King David, how God forgave them, we must be encouraged. Be careful that you are not fooled by self-confidence and self-righteousness, believing that you are now spiritually strong or you will never fail no matter what. Or because you are very active in the church that you are going to, or you may think that you have arrived to a place of strength. But please remember Peter's promises. He did promise, and he really meant it. I believe Peter was not pretending to love Jesus. I believe that Peter really meant it when he said, I love you, Jesus. I love you. I love you. In today's society, if you would have heard a man saying, I love you, to another man, you would misunderstand this. And yet this love is not the sensual love we think of. It is the agape, as the Greeks would use, which is only between a man a human being in between us and God, which is pure, unadulterated love. And even though Peter and others had seen the resurrection, resurrected Jesus, and had spoken with him, touched him, and ate with him, Peter went back to his fishing. Peter went back to his fishing. Now, he could have stayed with the brethren. He could have said, well, our Lord is alive. We saw him. We witnessed that. He could have, but he did not. He said, let's go fishing to get some money or food. But Jesus once again found him and told him to follow him. Jesus wanted to give Peter another chance. Peter needed another chance. And Jesus went and found him. No matter how far you walk away from God, he is still following you. He loves you. He cares for you. You may have committed sins that you think that can never be forgiven. David had stolen the wife of his neighbor. He had done all kinds of terrible things. For a year he was hiding his sins, covering up his sins, and yet God had mercy on him. But first, he wanted to have Peter commit his life and love completely to him. Now, Jesus loved Peter. And Jesus knew that Peter loved him, and yet he failed him. And now he was discouraged. And so Jesus wanted to make sure that Peter really understood his position, and he wanted him to make a new commitment, if you will. Sometimes people misunderstand when our born-again believers come to the front and I say, if anyone wants to come and rededicate his life or her life, and people have told me, how come they're coming to the front? They are born-again believers. Well, because God wants to see our willingness to rededicate our lives to him daily, hourly, if you wish. That is why Jesus asked him, Simon, do you truly love me more than these? Jesus asked him not only once or twice, but three times. Simon, do you really love me more than these? More than these, meaning what, you may say? These people? Yes. But could have meant, or I believe it meant also this boat you have, the fishing business, the desire to go back to the old life, if you wish. Do you love me more than these people and more than your business, your activities? Many people have left their church, have left their homes because they want to get their gains in life. They want to enjoy life more. They want to make more money. And yet God asks, Jesus asks, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter answered. You know that I love you. But when Jesus asked him for the third time, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him three times and said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. But Peter, instead of feeling honored and happy for being asked by Jesus about his love and commitment for him, he wanted to know now about others. And he asked Jesus, Lord, what about him? Now he's changing the conversation. He really is hurt. And he says, okay, what about him? He wanted to know how the other disciple or disciples were doing. Very often I am asked about other religions or doctrines and people who never heard the word of God or the good news of Jesus Christ. And they want to know what is going to happen to them or what God thinks of them. Usually, people want to know about other persons or other people's stand, position, or status so they may, if possible, justify themselves. I mean, it has happened in our Bible studies more than once that people would ask, so Pastor, what will happen to those in the Amazons? Or what would happen to those somewhere in a country where they never heard the word of God? Now the question is, I think, is leading away from the truth. Instead of asking, what about me that I've heard the word of God and I know the gospel and I have heard the good news, what's going to happen to me if I don't respond? They ask, what's going to happen to those in the Amazons? Well, really, people are not very concerned about those in the Amazons or somewhere in Africa or some other country or Europe who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's going to happen to them? Because they themselves have not accepted, or they're trying to justify their position. So Peter says, okay, what's going to happen to John? To Peter's question, what about him, Lord? Jesus answered, what is that to you? In other words, why is that your business? So many of us look at others. Oh, yeah, he claims to be a Christian. Look at him. What's going to happen to him? Oh, yeah, this pastor, this minister, this country, this clergyman, and this brother or sister, what's going to happen to them? And actually, the question should be, what am I doing? Where am I? Is anyone else looking at me and saying, what's going to happen to Joseph or to Mary or Peter? So the question was only to go away from that very particular question Jesus asked him, do you love me more than these? So many of us look at others. So many hide behind the excuse, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. It is true. It is true. Churches are full of hypocrites. We are all hypocrites at one time or another. We come in, we smile, how are you? I'm doing fine, and we're not fine. We come here and we pray, we close our eyes and read the Bible and we say the right words and pray the right prayers, and yet that's not how it is at home or at work. So to say that the church is full of hypocrites may be true. And yet, I would rather have all these hypocrites at church worshiping together and trying to help each other and hearing the gospel than not going anywhere. It's like saying, I don't want to go to a hospital because it's full of sick people. Would you rather stay at home? The nurse over there is smiling. Would you rather, the doctor there and the other nurse, and would you rather not go to the hospital because it's full of sick people? No, we run to the hospital if the doctor says it's important. Just remember, you are not responsible or accountable for the sins of others. Every one of us will give an account of himself or herself to God. You cannot use others as an excuse when you stand before God. That is, of course, important to us who believe in God. But then there are others who have doubts about God. And you know what? God is big God. God is a gracious God. He doesn't get angry because we have doubts about some things. And God is not angry at those who don't believe in Him. He loves them. He is not going to kill those who have not yet surrendered their lives to God, or they don't believe in God. He wants them to be saved and to enjoy eternal life. You say, well, all that is Christian talk. How do you know this and how do you know that? Well, how do we know all the information we're getting out of space, all those pieces of metal junk that are traveling and sending? What if someone at a central place is sending us all this information? But we believe what they say, and we take we accept what their comments are, And yet we take this little machine, and I've used this so many times, some of you are tired hearing. You take this little smartphone and you dial, and someone appears in Armenia or in Pakistan or in Bangladesh, and you start talking. And you don't see any wires and you don't see anything, but you see the results of you dialing. Well, that's how it is with Christians who have dialed the number and have invited God to come. The Bible says, ask and will be given. He who seeks God will find him. Now remember this. The person closest to you may be keeping you away from Christ. The person who is the closest to you may be keeping you away from Christ. Maybe it is the failure of your wife or husband, or girlfriend or boyfriend. Maybe it is the failure of your boss or neighbor, or maybe another believer's attitude or lifestyle. Look past the failures of others and look straight to Jesus. What if others fail? What is that to you, the Bible says. I remember once I said to my mother before she died, she asked me about my faith, and I said, Mother, if one day Billy Graham says I don't believe in God, and the pastors around me say I don't believe in God, and even you say I don't believe in God, I will still believe in God. Because my decision or God's mercy in me is a personal relationship. It's not based on what you said or what others say or what philosophers say or what doctrines people follow, but it's a very personal relationship. Yes, you helped me find God. Yes, people helped me find God. And yes, but still it was my own decision that I have connected with God and I enjoy His presence in my life. Why should the failure of others affect your Christian walk and service? Consider the Lord's question if you have been hurt by another Christian. Some Christians can be very cruel. Many faithful believers who used to serve the Lord fervently have been hurt by others. The work of Christ is often harmed by careless tongues and selfish desires of believers in the church. Bitterness has replaced the blessings for many wounded believers. The wounded believers have left the church. You ask the average Quebecer today here in Quebec, why aren't you going to church? Oh, because, and they will blame their leaders, they will blame the doctrines, they will blame everything and everyone. And so what we do as leaders will affect others. What you will do as a Christian will affect others. And yet, we should not allow someone else's failures to interrupt our fellowship with Christ. People who have been hurt and have become casualties of burning remarks and comments are everywhere. Do you see how Jesus' words were distorted by gossip? Gossip is something that you cannot call back or take it back. Jesus had said, if I want to remain alive, I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. But listen to what the next verse says. Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would never die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? Has your Christian life or service been injured by thoughtless people? Have others failed you? If they have, why would you let that affect your Christian walk and relationship with Christ, your Lord? Remember the Lord's question, if you envy another person's talents or position. If you are looking around you and you're saying, who am I? Like Moses said, Lord, choose someone else. I have a speech impediment. I can't speak well. You know that I'm old. And you know this and you know that. And God kept saying, no, Moses, I want you to lead these people. And he finally asked for some help. And God gave him the help he asked. And that was a big mistake. Because that other help became a hindrance to him. Lord, what about him? He asked. Peter wants to compare his service to that of John. Peter is actually saying, okay, if I'm going to feed the sheep, what will John do? And you say, and sometimes we complain, okay, Lord, I got to do all this in this church. I got to do this all at home. I'm going to do this. What about this other person? And because the other person doesn't show any willingness to help or doesn't have any inclination of helping at all, we want to give up. Or he probably said, if I'm going to die as a martyr, what will happen to John? Someone else's position, talents, speaking ability, success, money should not affect your walk with Christ. Jesus wants you to know that you are who you are. There isn't another you. Yeah, there may be someone that looks like you, talks like you, but there, you are a unique person. And you have been given gifts that can be used for his kingdom. He says to you, regardless what others do, you follow me. I've used this expression many times. And I'll use it until my last breath. That our call as Christians is not to follow someone else, but to follow Christ. Do you know what's happening these days, though, in the church and among Christians? We ask God to follow us. You may think it's funny. It's not. Lord, help me do this. Lord, give me that. Lord, be with me. Lord, drive this car. Lord, help my children. Lord, we're telling God and Jesus to follow us. We are walking that way. Please follow me. Rather than saying, you, God, you, Jesus, my Lord, show me the way, and I'll follow you. Have you heard and responded to Jesus' comments? Follow me. Do you really understand what follow me means? God often chooses to use those who think they have little to offer. He often uses those who others think have little or nothing to offer. Jesus gave Peter another chance because Peter repented and returned to him. Someone said, God does not want his followers to end in failure, but learn from their failures. We must not hesitate to return to God when we have failed. We all have failed. We all have failed God in one way or another. So let us go back to him in humility. He is ready to give us another chance. In Isaiah 1:18, we read, come now, says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Let us also be ready to give another chance to those who have failed us, and then follow Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us many chances. Lord, thank you for enabling us to be here this morning. You could have called us home, or we could have been sick, or we could have gone through this life discouraged and disappointed. And yet, you brought us here. And I believe your word has encouraged each one of us to look back and learn from our failures, and then to look forward and follow you. Be with us, strengthen us, and help us. In your blessed name I pray, amen.